I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7 here on WVXU and WMUB. Good morning. In the studio with me is local author Richard Hoskin. His book, The Miner and the Viscount, tells the tale of mid-18th century Cornwall and the miners and the aristocracy who are working there. He's here to talk about the book. Richard, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you.
I see that you worked on this book for some 5 years, and I noticed from your biography you said you've written for pleasure and profit all your life, but where did the genesis of this story begin?
Well, it really started when a friend of mine said, I have to put on a course at OLLI, the Institute for Learning in Retirement at the University of Cincinnati, on the culture and history of Britain, and I'd like you to do a section on Cornwall. And I said, I'd be delighted. Would you like 5 lectures or 12 lectures? He said, I'd like 1 lecture of 45 minutes, including Q&A.
So that's how the book came about?
Well, I thought this would be pretty easy and that I'd just knock it off the top of my head. But I started digging into some research and got deeper and deeper and deeper, became fascinated with that. I put together a lecture called Cornwall, History, Mystery, Mansions and Mines, and then wondered what to do about it. I'd retired several times. On this particular occasion that I retired, I started creative writing and was writing memoirs while memory lasts, which I thought my grandchildren would be thrilled to see and learn about their illustrious ancestor, but nary a page has been cracked. So I turned to something else, and my wife said, why don't you write a history of Cornwall? You love your native land. And I thought that was a bit scholarly, but historical fiction would meet the mark, and that's how it started.
And what a time you picked, amid 1700s, where there's a lot of change that's going on.
It's tremendous. And the more I dug into it, the more I realized that Cornwall was a wonderful microcosm of what was going on in Britain, in Europe, and across the world, and was an active participant in many things.
So for those who don't know, describe Cornwall. I think I heard somewhere it's like Florida, but with more rain or something along those lines. But well, where is Cornwall,
Cornwall
for those who aren't?
Cornwall is the southwestern peninsula of Great Britain. So it's bordered by England to the east with the River Tamar separating it. To the north is the Atlantic Ocean. To the south is the English Channel. And it has wild ocean seas to the north, milder ones to the south, great cliffs to the north, a spine of moorland, and a lot of agricultural land in between. And it's dotted with small villages, small towns, a lot of fishing. At one point, the pilchard trade was huge, with millions of pilchards being caught and salted there and shipped to mostly Italy, but they ran out. And the thing that made Cornwall wealthy during the period I write about was the deep hard rock mines bearing tin, copper, antimony, some silver, some lead, and tungsten.
So public television fans might be know about that mining effort because of the series Poldark,
right,
which was sent to Cornwall, right, and in a mine with a mine owner.
Exactly.
And also Doc Martin, I think, lives in Cornwall too, is that right?
Absolutely. Now Poldark is a series that one of the things that happened as a result of writing this book is I've made lots of new friends, including some very interesting ones in Cornwall. And one is a poet and a songwriter, but also a politician. And he sees the book as a platform for promoting Cornish culture and products in this country. And he says we need to make a miniseries. And if they liked Poldark, they will love The Miner and the Viscount.
And so there you go, public television executives, be listening here.
It would work well. I visited Cornwall in July with my daughter, who was born in England, and extremely deeply engaged in her Cornish ancestry and origins. And we had a coincidence a day. One day, I said to Sarah, I want to go and see the house where Doc Martin's surgery is in Port Isaac. The real village is Port Isaac. And we went there, and down on the beach was Dugald Sproul, brother of my good friend Margaret Sproul, with whom we celebrated a joint birthday in Cornwall a couple of years ago. And Dugald is the son of the real doctor in Port Isaac, Dr. Sproul, and my nephews and nieces were his patients. And he said, Richard, my wife has just finished your book. Come and have a cup of tea. So he left his fishing boat behind on the beach and went up to the former doctor's house, and there sitting on the couch was my book with some knitting. And he said, she's enjoyed the book and I'm getting it next. And then eventually, sort of reluctantly, he said, well, as a solicitor, as lawyers are called in England, I negotiated with the Doc Martin Production Company the deal that gave royalties to the village of Port Isaac. So I thought to myself, note.
Big note to self.
Yes, yes.
I'm talking with Richard Hoskin, the author of The Miner and the Viscount. He's a local author. You can learn more about the book at our website, wvxu.org. It's available where books are sold. And I guess we should talk about the plot. I wasn't quite sure how to talk about the plot, The Miner and the Viscount, because it's really about the people. I mean, the history is there, but it's about these personalities that we meet. How do you describe the story to folks?
It's a story of a conflict set in a time of turbulence and change. The historical background is that the Industrial Revolution was at its birth. And this was extremely important in Cornwall. There were 70 steam engines working in the Cornish mines in 1760. And they were largely used for pumping because many of the mines were not only deep, but deep under the ocean. And they would get wet and the water had to be pumped out. The steam engines were later used for raising ore to the surface and raising miners and taking miners down into the mine. So that was a big part of it. So that brings a whole sort of technology and a level of interest that's going on. Methodism is emerging. John Wesley visited Cornwall 32 times. And on one occasion, he frequently preached in Gwinnett Pit, which is a great natural amphitheater. And he said in his journal on one occasion, I preached to 2,000 souls, and everyone heard the voice of God. And it's that amphitheater is a marvelous place. I took my wife there on a research trip we made in 2012. And I said, you can stand on the other side of the pit, and I'll stand on the rim this side, and I'll speak to you in a perfectly normal voice. And I did. And she said, I heard and understood every word you said. And I whispered to myself, first time in years. And she said, I heard that.
Whisper or not. So, okay, and the pit does show up in your story.
Absolutely.
The Miner and the Viscount.
The opening scene is there. But we have three aristocratic families. Two of them historic and one of them are fictional. The fictional one is the villain, because I didn't feel I could be unkind about real people because they might have descendants who would be cross with me. Mm-hmm. So one of the families is the Elliot family, and they lived at Port Elliot, which is 8 miles from Liscard, which is the market town where I was born and brought up. They were a family who were landowners, but they became bankers and entrepreneurs. They'd made some money in the East India Company. Among other things, they're a patron of Joshua Reynolds, and there are 14 paintings by Joshua Reynolds in the house. They were political. Edward Elliot came to be known as the Lord of the Boroughs. So the borough is the constituency in Parliament, and he owned or controlled, at one point, 11 boroughs, 11 votes in Parliament. But he told me proudly when we went to see the house and pick up some backgrounds and some atmosphere, he said to me, you know, Richard, my family didn't buy honors for cash. We exchanged honors for influence.
Wise men.
And there were 42 members of parliament, a little old remote Cornwall. And that's because the custom was for each borough to have two members, and then the county had two members. So with 21 boroughs, that multiplies out to 42 members of parliament, about the same as all of Scotland.
Wow.
A lot of influence to spread around. So the second real family was the Pitt family. And of course, William Pitt the Elder, who is a character in the story, was one of the great prime ministers of Britain. Enormous intellect, fought a world war with the staff that was using quill pens and parchment and communicating over oceans by messages on sailing ships, and a world war across the European continent and India and Africa and the West Indies and America. It was an extraordinary feat. So it was the Seven Years' War, known in this country as the French and Indian War, and a great man. Now, one of the things that the Pitt family created for me was the challenge of coming up with fiction that was half as improbable and interesting as the history.
Yes.
Because the way that the Pitt family acquired the wealth to buy the Cornish estate of Baconic with 18,000 acres is a story in itself. And what happened was that William Pitt's grandfather was the son of a poor clergyman who said, "You'll get no money from me. You better go to India and make your fortune," which he did, with the East India Company, became the governor of Madras. When it came time to retire, you couldn't wire money home. So he invested many of his assets in a huge diamond, and he hid that in the heel of his son's boot and sent his son across the ocean to have the diamond cut and to sell it to a monarch. The son got distracted by falling in love and had impatient letters from his father arriving 6 months after his father had the thought, demanding that he get on with it. But at least the young woman he married brought some seats in parliament with him, and he eventually sold it to the French for the crown jewels. And with the proceeds of that diamond, they bought 10 country estates, one of which was Baconic with 18,000 acres.
Better than fiction, right?
If I had made that up, you'd have said that's improbable.
Richard Hoskin, writer of The Miner and the Viscount, available where books are sold. And we only have a couple of minutes left here, Richard. I wanted to ask, a lot of the story takes place in dialogue, and I imagine it had to be a challenge to come up with all this dialogue that also pushes the plot along, too.
Arr. That's true. And there's a lot of dropping of H's and dropping of G's at the end of the words. For this project, which was ended up being 424,000 words, I improved my typing skills by typing with two fingers on each hand. But it was slow having to backspace and put in the apostrophe and drop the H and then go to the other end of the word and drop the G. I think that was at least 4 out of the 5 years that were consumed in writing the book.
What has been the reaction among family and friends? You say, well, you're visiting Port Isaac and got in good with the doc, but then what has the other reaction been?
Well, it was amazing. The highlight has been this July visit to Cornwall, where we did so many talks, had so many media interviews, met so many people, saw relatives I hadn't seen in years. I've just started in my website writing a blog about the stories behind the story, and one is about a young woman that we met at one of these book signings, and I talked about the Tregrill farm near Liscard, where one of the characters lived, one of the farmers, and she said, the character you name is my grandfather, and we farm Tregrill, my husband and I, to this day. So that was yet another occasion for a hug. I also met, for example, the woman who led the work on restoring St. Piran's oratory. The story of St. Piran is the prologue to the book. Mm-hmm. And his oratory was covered by sand on the north coast of Cornwall. The Atlantic gales covered it with sand, and they've had a project to uncover it and restore it. And I met her and had a wonderful time. I met the man who was reading the very first copy of the book ever sold to a friend of mine in Campbell County, Kentucky, who took it on vacation with him to the Rocky Mountains. And he was gazing at the view when this man came up to him and they started chatting. And it turned out that he was Cornish. So my friend Chuck lent him the book and he took it home to Cornwall with him. And I met him and picked it up and returned it to Chuck, the very first book. And it turns out that his technical contribution was not a steam engine, but was laying, maintaining, and repairing the under-ocean fiber optic cable between the continents.
Well, you're certainly become the Cornish ambassador, Richard.
True.
And you do a fine job, but thank you for talking this morning.
You're extremely welcome, and I enjoyed it very much.
The Miner and the Viscount, the novel by Richard Hoskin. You can learn more about it at wvxu.org, set in beautiful Cornwall, the southwest coast of Great Britain. All the details, as I said, at our website. This is the Book Club at 91.7.